Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, can I tell you, it's been a really interesting day in the Lord's house for me today. First of all, I felt led, we've been on a series out of the book of John, and I felt to go away from the series. And actually, next week we're going to be starting a new series, which I really don't want you to miss. It's going to be titled Spiritual Alignment. And I feel like God has given me a fresh revelation from some verses that have not only really helped me, but I think are meant for our entire church body. And so we want you to come starting next week. And instead of staying on the track of the John series, I felt like the Lord said, stop. I'm going to give you one message. And I want you to talk about something specific. And what I want you to talk about is, I want you to talk about devotion. About the people's devotion for me, like fresh devotion. Like, I want to call my people to being in love with me again. How many want to be in love with Jesus again? How many would say amen? And the thing about today, here's why I started with that, is because it's been one of those days where lots of stuff has kind of gone wrong. The screen is not working, and there's a leak in the bathroom in my office. Like, it was just all kinds of little crazy things, and we've had technology issues, and it hasn't surprised me. I don't want to be like hyper spiritual. It hasn't surprised me the kind of day we've had. Things haven't felt super easy, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because this topic is one of those topics that I know the devil hates. It's just one of those things that the devil hates when we talk about this and when we address this. And in part, it's because it's what's most important to God. You know, how do you fulfill all the commandments the Bible says? What's the greatest commandment? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. How many would say amen? Amen. And so today has been like that interesting thing that happened, only happened in the first service. But in the middle of, maybe not in the middle, but towards the end of worship, one of our sisters came and grabbed my arm. I was right there. And she said, Pastor, I feel like I have a word. And see, like, there's a major spill here, right here. This, like, it's unbelievable, this water thing that's chasing me today. So she grabs my arm and she says, Pastor, I feel like I have a word. And she's a woman of God, and I grabbed the mic and I gave her the mic. And as soon as worship died down, she actually gave a message in tongues and then the interpretation. And the gist of the word was God calling us back to his love. And I knew, I took it as this is a sign from the Lord, a confirmation to me that I'm supposed to talk about this particular topic. And in that first service, we had the craziest first service because I went right up to preach right after worship. And then made the altar call. And when we finished with the altar call, I told the people, go back to your seats. We still have to take the offering, but they walked out anyway. I was like, come on, Lord. But it didn't matter because it didn't matter. Some days, it just doesn't matter. What mattered is that we came to the altar and we sought the face of God. And we prayed, God, refresh my devotion for you. How many would say that just up front with me? Amen. And so we have a lot of different perspectives on devotions, and we even have devotions is what we call when we read the Bible. in the morning. I did my devotions, I did my devos. Like, there are all kinds of bends. But today we're going to look at what God says and how God describes, at least in one place in the Bible, the book of Jeremiah, we're going to look at how God describes a devotion. And again, the title of the message today is Fresh Devotion. We want a fresh devotion for God. It's reset time. You know, it's September 1st and the vacations are over and we're settling back into school and we need a fresh devotion. Amen. Okay, so let's look at what the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 2. Just two verses. It's broken. I keep turning that way, but look at what the Bible says here. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me." This is Jeremiah speaking. "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says." So this is the prophet speaking, but this is God speaking through the prophet. This is like super, super clear here. And he says, "I remember the," everyone. Let's try that one more time. "I remember the
devotion."
Yes, "I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown." And so here God is actually describing devotion. He's actually painting a very human picture for us of how he sees devotion. Because we might have our understanding of what it means to be devoted to God, but here you're actually hearing it directly from God. God is giving us an example and actually three pictures of what he sees as devotion. And I want to pray that God would make us a devoted people. I want to pray that even though we want to get promotions, and even though we want to maybe purchase a new property, and even though we want to get ahead and we want blessings and we want this for our children and this for our grandchildren, all of those things are good and it's great to ask God for those things, but what is most important is that we would love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our minds and all of our strengths. Here's what the Bible, and holistically speaking, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if we seek him first, all will be added. And so in a lot of ways, in this context of today's, you know, the blessing is secured just by our devotion. In other words, the person who really loves God with all of their heart, he says, "I take care of everything. Just love me and I'll take care of everything. I'll watch over everything." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, would you take the next few moments and would you speak, Lord, through me, Lord, to all of us, including me. But God, speak to our hearts. God, speak to the deep places of our soul so that we can disattach from this world. So we can break agreement, oh God, and so that we could, Lord, connect deeply to you. I pray, Father God, for fresh devotion for everyone that's hearing this message. And God, whatever it is that you need to do, do it by your mighty power, we pray. Help us, oh God, to please you and to honor you and to glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen and amen. So the Bible gives us basically here in these couple of verses, the Bible gives us, or the Lord is giving us, a number of pictures of what it means to really be devoted to God. The first picture is that of a new bride. It's that of a new bride. I was walking by and I saw Johnny and his new bride, Carly. And they were so happy. And I had to bump him because I think he was talking to her instead of worshiping. I'm not sure if what was going on over there, but I saw them over there and I said, they just got married and they're so happy. And then when I shook hands, I spoke to Nisaini and Carlos. Stand up, they're getting married this Friday, right? Come on, stand up, come on, let's put our hands together. Woohoo! Amen. All right. So I bumped into her. She said, this Friday, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? New bride, devotion, and this is the way the Lord unpacks it. But let me just take the word devotion and then we'll speak to it in terms of the new bride and a couple of other things. But here's how you thank you, Lord. This word devotion, it means a number of things. Here's what it means. First of all, it means affectionate love. Okay? It means affectionate love. And so when God says, I remember the devotion of your youth, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I remember how you loved me with your affections. Some people, somehow, some way, somewhere, someplace, people got it into their heads that you could love God without being affectionate with him. And that's nowhere found in the Bible. The Bible says you will love him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, which is the seat of the affections. So to love God, you got to love him with your affections. It makes sense that we would raise our voices. It makes sense that sometimes we kneel, sometimes we raise our hands, sometimes we clap, and sometimes we shout because we love him with all of our affections, not just our head. You know, imagine me saying to Chrissy, honey, I just want you to know I dearly love you from the depths of my mind. How do you think that's going to go over? You see? Don't say that to God either. I love you with my head, Lord. That's it. No. Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Oh, God, I love you, God. How many would say amen to that? Yes. And so devotion means that you love God with in an affectionate kind of way. And that's what you see unfolding in the New Testament. That's what you see unfolding in the life of Christ, his love for the Father, in the life of the disciples, in the book of Acts, in the writings of Paul. What you see is people who loved God with everything. And it was an affectionate love. And so, first and foremost, if you think about really having a devoted heart to God, just know you can't do it if your heart is not engaged. Because all of your heart is engaged. It's like a new bride. Okay, a new bride if a new bride is not happy about getting married, how many know she probably shouldn't get married? Right? Because there should be this overwhelming affection. Here's the second thing that this is speaking of. It's new bride devotion is also like this full-fledged personal trust love. I just threw love on the end of it. Okay, it's full-fledged personal trust love. It means that when she's in the biblical sense, okay, today when we're talking about marriage, a new bride, we're talking about marriage in the biblical sense, not the worldly sense. Because the world has like 29 different definitions of marriage, okay? And let me tell you something, there is one true definition of marriage, and the Bible is the one that declares the way, the truth, and the life when it comes to marriage. I think we should clap loud for that, because that's what the Bible says, and it's true. How many would say amen? It's like people could do whatever they want, but God is the creator of marriage. He's the founder of it all. And when you're talking about in the classic sense, marriage in the biblical sense, part of what happens is she takes his name, okay, and here's what she's saying. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment, but part of what she's saying is, look, I trust you. When we do the ceremonies here, a lot of times we'll quote for the woman when they're exchanging vows, we'll have the woman say, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. Amen? So that's biblical, and there's this, look, I trust you. I trust you. I love you, and I trust you. And I'm going to follow you. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And so when you think about devotion, it's affection, it's trust, and then lastly, it's covenant. Lastly, it's covenant. That word, could we put that up one more time? That word in the Hebrew, it's that word hesed, if I'm saying it right, right? That means covenant love, okay? Covenant love is when there's this commitment made that's way bigger than a contract. This is a life, this is a blood commitment. Like, look, I commit my life to this, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Okay, marriage was a covenant that was made between two people before God. And when you talk about devotion, it's that kind of, Lord, I'm committed to you. Even when things don't go so well from my perspective, God, I'm still committed to you. You know why? Aren't you thankful that when things don't go well from his perspective, he doesn't give up on us when we turn, when we get crazy? How many are thankful that he stays faithful and he keeps on loving us and he keeps on chasing after us? Why does God keep chasing after people? It's because of covenant love. Because even when we break the covenant, he won't break that covenant. You see, and so this devotion is new bride, but it means a number of things, but God uses new bride to describe in a very human way what this love is like. And I just want to say two quick things. Here's what new bride devotion is basically saying. Number one, it's saying, I will follow you into the wilderness. I will follow you into the wilderness. Go proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and, everyone read it in the bold, ready? Followed me through the wilderness. Now that's going back all the way to the beginning when they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. God broke the back of Pharaoh and they were set free. And then God led them through the wilderness and they wanted to go after God. And even though things got crazy for them in the wilderness, when they were set free and they were marching out, they were saying, Lord, we love you and we will follow you through the wilderness. And God is talking about the fact that when you love him, you're willing to leave the populated places for the wilderness just to be with him. Okay? You're willing to leave places that might seem comfortable and places that might seem sort of abundant, and you're saying, God, I'd rather be with you in the wilderness than over there in populated places without you. When a girl gets married, right, she's saying, look, I love you, and I know that we're going someplace. I don't know where we're going, but I want to go with you. Think about it this way. It's funny having the Riveras here because they remember the days when I was engaged. I remember the day that I, two conversations. One, when I had to ask Pastor Simba if I could date Chrissy. Okay, just here's the way you describe it. Gulp, you know. Okay, it's one of those gulp deals, right? So if you've done it kind of in the traditional sense, then you ask for the hand in marriage. Here's the way it works. So the girl, she brings the guy, and she's like, Daddy, here he is. And the dad is like, can anything good come from Nazareth? Like, are you kidding me? This is what you brought in the house? Right? I didn't say that about you, Pastor Josh. I said, wow, what a Lamborghini she brought. Right? But I'm talking about in general. In general, the what happens is the dad is looking at her and saying, looking at him and saying, what do you have for her right now? What can you do for her right now? How are you going to take care of her? What's going on right now? But the girl, she says, look, I understand that right now he doesn't have a lot, but I trust him and I will follow him. And I'd rather leave daddy's house with all of the toys and the trinkets to go struggle and wrestle, because I'd rather be with him in the wilderness. This is what marriage is all about. You leave. I'd rather be in the wilderness with him, just kind of like a tent, than this beautiful house that I was in with my father, because that's what love is like. And here's what God is saying. Listen, God is saying, I remember when you loved me like that, so that you were willing to leave the world and the things of this world. You became a Christian and you had all of these friends and you said, friends, I'm sorry, but I can't go there. I can't be there. I can't do that anymore. But what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go in the wilderness and be alone with Jesus. But you know what? It's better to be alone with Jesus than be over there in the world. How many would say amen to that? Hallelujah. And part of growing in God, listen, part of growing in God is, you've got to become comfortable with being alone with God. You've got to become comfortable with seasons of being alone. Some people, the Bible calls this double-minded, and it really speaks to double-hearted. What some people do is they love God when they come to church, and then they love the world when they're in the world, because they can't handle the wilderness. You know, my big prayer especially is for the men, especially men of households, okay? Love not the world or the things of this world, the Bible says, right? Love God, but love them in your house, love them in the church, but even on the job. How many know we can love them on the job and say, you could do whatever you want to do, you could say whatever you want to say, but as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm in love with Jesus and I will not go there. Let me tell you, this city needs that kind of love demonstrated over and over and over from men and women. And so God is saying, I remember when you were so in love with me that you didn't even care if people would make fun of you. I remember when you were so in love with me that you knew when you were going to walk into a room, they would go, uh-oh, there they go. Here comes so-and-so. And you didn't even care because you were so in love with me that you were happy to talk about me and to stand for me. See, even if it put you in the wilderness. And I just want to say this, all right? You're missing out. If you have to be accepted by the world, okay? If you're like in love with the love of the world, you don't even understand the blessings that you're missing out on. You see, because there's this rich, amazing, powerful, miraculous life. There are miracles that God does for people that are sold out to him. There are breakthroughs that God brings for people that are sold out to him. It's an amazing thing. But if you're leaning, in fact, in Jeremiah, I didn't say this in any of the other meetings, but I'm going to presume a little bit more on the time. In Jeremiah, there's a verse where God says in Jeremiah, why do you keep going to Egypt or Assyria as if they're going to help you? Don't you realize you're going to leave Egypt, you're going to leave Assyria with your hands on your head, like, why did I do that? How many know the world will never satisfy you, the world will never meet your needs, only Jesus can deeply satisfy, and only Jesus can meet our needs. Can I get an amen? But it really comes down to the fact that it's not the rules and the regulations, it's the love of being alone with God and saying, God, I so enjoy you that I could leave other things behind. And when your walk with God gets like that, everything, you get so much stronger on the inside when you really fall in love with the Lord to the point that you don't need. It's this way, if they could send one of the musicians out. Here's what, I had a man of God say this to me once when I first started in the ministry. Here's what he said. He said, He said, when you have the burning bush, you have very little need of things. When you have the burning bush, you have very little need of things. You see, that's a moment for you guys to go, ooh, that's good, but that's all right. Okay? And here's why. You see, because when Moses was out there in the desert and he had an appearing of the presence of God and the word of God and the voice of God and the fire of God, how many know there was not one thing that the world could offer him that was better than that moment? How many would say amen to that? But see, look, here's why. Here's why. This message is so hard, okay? This message is so hard because we live in the world and what I'm talking about can become very foreign. You know, Pastor Simler once said to me, certain subjects, when you preach on certain subjects, it's like putting a little torch to a giant iceberg. And I want to say this, Lord, burn the ice off of our hearts. Burn it off of our hearts, Lord. I want to fall in love with you again. You know, I want to be deeply in love with you. And how many know you're never too old to have a fresh falling in love with God? So the first thing, it's new bride devotion that says, Lord, I'll follow you into the wilderness. And then here's the second thing that God is describing in terms of this new bride devotion. He's saying this. The new bride says this, I will go with you into unsown lands. This is the line that really jumped out at me. Okay, I remember the devotion of your youth, like when you first started, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness. The wilderness is all throughout the Bible, but this here really stood out to me. It says, through a land not sown. Now you have to think about this. If you don't really think about what this is saying, you can miss it. This really speaks to people who have been in God even for a season, not just new believers, but people who've been in God for a season. Because when God was leading them through the wilderness, God had places and plans for them, places for them to go, lands in which they had not sown any seed. But they had to follow him to get there. In fact, the battle of Israel was to follow God through the wilderness. Okay, there was a time when they were in the desert, and God, they weren't going to be sowing seed in the desert. God wanted to take them someplace else. And he would provide for them, and he would protect them while they were in the desert. But God had these lands that in which they hadn't sown. But when they got there, he would have them sow, and he would have them reap. And here's what this means. It means that you could have parts of your life that you have sown, okay? It could be a job, it could be relationships, it could be some ministry stuff, some kingdom stuff where you have sown, but God says, do you love me? You say, you know I love you. He says, okay, well now I want you to go to a land that you haven't sown. I want you to go into a new land in 2019. I want you to go into new places even though you've never gone there before. If you want fresh devotion says, Lord, I've been serving the Lord, I don't know, 35 years or so. So it's like, wait a second, I got a ministry, I got this, I got that. No. In fact, this year probably for me has been one of the most challenging years of my life. And I'm like, Lord, I feel like I've had enough challenge. You know, but sometimes God says, yeah, but I want you to change this. I want you to change this about your personality. Don't you love when God says, I want you to change your personality? I've had the Lord say that to me. Forgive me for being so like, but I've had the Lord. You see that part of your personality? I want to change that. You know, God does that. And I want you to change your perspective on this or that. And I want you to, you haven't done what I told you to do in this area. I want you to step out more in this area. No one likes to be pushed when there's a certain measure of blessing. But when you love God, you say, Lord, where you want me to go? God, because I love you, not because I love all the discomfort. Think about land not sown. You got to get a plow. They knew this. You got to get a plow. You got to break up the fallow ground. You got to break up all of this ground. And you're like, I don't want to be working on breaking up all of this new ground. And then you got to say, God, I need seed. And you got to sow new seed. And you got to wait. And you got to become a farmer all over again. All over again, I got to be a farmer. And you say, Lord, because I love you, I'll do it, oh God. In other words, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change anything for you. Because look, land not sown means that there is a new normal someplace that God has for you. But it's completely different. Okay, you've got to go there and you've got to work on the things that God is telling you to work on. Maybe someone here, it's like you come to church, you've never been really involved in a ministry. Or you've never been involved in a church. You go to church, okay? You grew up in the tradition of going to church. You got that, and you might even read your Bible, but you live your life, and God is saying, how long are you gonna just receive? When are you gonna start serving? Oops, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. What, all of a sudden, everybody should serve? Those verses in the Bible are for everybody, but not for you, because you have a special dispensation of... No, but sometimes for years, we ignore what God is telling us, and God is saying, okay, it's time. It's time for you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you want to refresh your love and your walk with me? Well, go into the unsown lands with me. Go there. I want to lead you there. And when you're in love with God, you're saying, God, because I love you, I'll do that new thing, which I don't even really want to do, Lord. I'm comfortable where I'm at, but Lord, I rather follow you and do the work that is required in the unsown lands just because I love you. So look, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're older in God, there might be things in your emotional life, there might be things in your relationships, there might be practices and habits. Okay, there might be perspectives. And you know, sometimes we get so comfortable with our weaknesses. We're proud of our weaknesses. We're like, oh yeah, I can't do that. Oh yeah, that, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? I could never do that. It's like, well, what if God says, but I want you to do that. You know, I could never be that way, but I want you to be that way. Like, well, God, how could I do that? Don't you see I'm not gifted that? And he said, no. Break up the ground and start sowing seeds. Do a little there. Say a little there. Come on, step out a little bit. I'm not asking you to take a giant step, but take a little step in that direction and watch me change you. How many know the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? How many would say amen? So stop with, well, that's just not my gift set. Forget about your gift set. When we love God, we let him stretch us. We say, go ahead, Lord. Go ahead, Lord. You know, I've used the illustration. You know, it's so funny. My mom and dad were here this week for 2 weeks. My dad's 94. My mom is 86. So I'm driving my parents to the car, to the airport this morning, and my wife taught me how to say I love you, because we didn't say I love you in my house. My wife taught me, you know, I can't even tell you all the things that my wife taught me, but she taught me how to say I love you. And I was driving and I had to remind myself, it's like, be sure to tell your parents. It's like not natural in our family. And my mom was leaving. I was like, Mommy, te quiero mucho. Papi, I had to say, he can't hear a thing. You have to go, Papi. You know, it was like that. Te quiero mucho. And it was like it was like that before I let him go. It's almost like a comedy show in a way. But you know, while I was driving, I was mindful of how I, when it comes to them and to my family, it's something that I really have to think about to do, because that seed was not really sown into my heart as a child. But don't you think I should say I love you to my parents? Well, aren't there some people that you should say I love you to too? Aren't there some areas and some land and there's some ground in your life where God says, I want you to be different? And you say, Lord, I don't think I could be different, but because I love you, I'll take a step of faith. I'll sow a seed. I don't know all of it, but Lord, I'll do it your way. How many would say, yes, Lord, I want to do it your way because I love you? Come on. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and say, yes, Lord. And so as we go to start, we're resetting the year. We're like, Lord, and this is my prayer for you as your pastor, that God would give you a fresh devotion for him. I just want you to know, I want for me, I said this to the pastors, God, give us a fresh love for you. Give us a fresh love for you. Not the way things look on the outside. I'm not talking about in an Instagram sense. I'm talking in about a deep sense. God, we love you. We love you, God. And here's what happens, and I'll close with this. Sometimes God calls you out of a crusty place. He calls you. He says, I remember the way you used to love me. And whenever God says, I remember the way you used to love me, it's what is he really saying? He says, I want you to love me again like that. In Revelation, he speaks to the Ephesian church and he says, you do this, you do this, you do this. I recognize all of these things, but here's what I have against you. You've lost your first love. You don't love me the way you used to. And sometimes the smartest thing that we could do is stop trying to just do things to please God and say, God, I'm here. We're in this service. I'm here right now, God. God, whatever you have to do in my heart, give me a fresh love for you, oh God. There's work that has to be done sometimes. There's repentance that needs to take place sometimes. Israel needed to repent when Jeremiah reached out. But how many know the minute you turn to God, how many are praise him, the minute we turn to him, he turns right to us to receive us, and he wants to receive us today. Hallelujah.